putting it all together. The woman with the scar on her nose. Have you ever heard of body dysmorphic disorder, BDD? Individuals with BDD develop the belief that something about them looks extremely ugly or grotesque. They constantly worry about their appearance and go to extreme lengths to try to correct the problem. Other people usually can't see the defect and try to reassure the person that she or he looks fine. However, the person with BDD doesn't buy it, so everyone ends up feeling exasperated. This is a severe form of anxiety that's considered extremely difficult to treat. In this section, you're going to meet a woman named Helen who was suddenly afflicted with BDD. This was surprising because she seemed to have everything in the world going for her, and most of us might think of her as one of the beautiful people. She was attractive and personable, had a loving husband, and was the proud mother of two wonderful little boys. She had a high-powered career and lived in a gorgeous home in Beverly Hills. Helen had received her Ph.D. in electrical engineering at MIT. Soon after graduating, she landed a job designing computer chips for a well-known electronics company. She played a key role in the development of a popular computer chip and was handsomely rewarded for her efforts. About this time, Helen met a man named Don who taught biology at the local community college. They fell in love and soon got married. Several months later, Helen became pregnant. Just before the baby was born, she took an extended leave of absence from her work so she could raise her family. 6 years later, Helen and Don had two cute little boys, aged 3 and 6. One evening after dinner, Don asked Helen if she had any thoughts about resuming her career. They were thinking about an addition to their home, but there was no way they could swing it on Don's salary. Helen seemed excited about the idea of going back to work. Later that evening, while Helen was washing dishes in the kitchen, there was a small earthquake, and a piece of plaster from the kitchen ceiling fell and cut her nose. The cut bled a lot, so Don rushed Helen to the emergency room. Fortunately, the wound was superficial, and within a few weeks, it healed cleanly without a trace. However, Helen became obsessed with the idea that there was an ugly scar on her nose. When she asked Don about it, he said he couldn't see any mark on her nose at all. She didn't believe him, so she asked her parents. They said the same thing. In spite of their reassurances, Helen became increasingly preoccupied with her nose. She couldn't let go of the idea that it looked repulsive and felt intensely anxious about it. She started spending large amounts of time every day staring into mirrors and applying makeup to cover up the imaginary scar on her nose. She was afraid to leave the house during daylight hours for fear that people would stare at her nose in disgust. Don realized that something was terribly wrong and brought Helen to the Stanford Psychiatric Clinic, where the psychiatric resident made the diagnosis of BDD. Let's see if we can help Helen, using some of the tools you've learned about. In Helen's daily mood log, the upsetting event was simply her staring into the mirror that morning, trying to cover the scar with makeup. Helen felt sad, anxious, ashamed, defective, lonely, humiliated, hopeless, frustrated, and angry. The high numbers in the percent before column indicate that these feelings were overwhelming. As long as she believes that there's an ugly scar on her nose, she'll feel intense anxiety. The moment she stops believing this thought, she'll feel relief. But Helen is an intelligent woman, and lots of people have already tried to persuade her that there isn't any scar on her nose. Their efforts were completely unsuccessful. We'll need some powerful, innovative techniques to help her. Helen's negative thought creates tremendous emotional pain, but she knows it's distorted because she identified 10 distortions in it. I began by asking her if she could think of a more positive and realistic way to think about her nose. What could she tell herself instead of, "This scar spoils my face"? Was there another message she could give herself that would be less upsetting? Patients always have a hard time talking back to their negative thoughts at first. When they attempt to challenge their negative thoughts on their own, their positive thoughts usually aren't very effective. Here's what Helen came up with. I could tell myself that my face is not quite as bad as a decomposing corpse, but almost. This thought wasn't very helpful. Although she believed the positive thought 100%, it simply didn't put the lie to the negative thought. Remember the two requirements for emotional change. The necessary condition, the positive thought has to be 100% true. The sufficient condition, the positive thought has to put the lie to the negative thought. Helen's positive thought fulfilled the necessary condition, but not the sufficient condition for emotional change. Double standard technique. I asked Helen to imagine that she had a dear friend just like herself who'd cut her nose during an earthquake. What would she say to her friend? Would she tell her that she had an ugly, disgusting scar on her nose that spoiled her face? Helen looked shocked and told me that she'd never say something like that to a friend. Then I asked what she would say to her friend instead. Helen said that she'd tell her friend to consider plastic surgery. Obviously, the double standard technique wasn't very effective for her. She didn't have a double standard. Response prevention. Helen spends a tremendous amount of time each day staring into mirrors and covering her nose with makeup. This makes the problem worse, because all the time and energy she spends applying makeup reinforces her belief that her nose is incredibly ugly. Some experts think that BDD is actually a form of obsessive-compulsive disorder. Helen's preoccupation with her nose is her obsession. Staring into mirrors and applying makeup is her compulsion. Response prevention is the treatment of choice for any compulsion. I asked Helen to remove all the mirrors from her house and put them in her garage, facing the wall. She couldn't remove the mirror in her bathroom because it was attached to the wall, but she agreed to limit her use of it to 1 minute each morning when she brushed her hair. She was not permitted to look into mirrors or windows to check on her appearance for the rest of the day, no matter how anxious she got. This response prevention made Helen much more anxious at first, but after a few days, her urges to stare into the mirror and cover her nose with makeup became less intense. Although response prevention is mandatory for anyone with a compulsion, it's usually not curative. Helen's urges to check her appearance in the mirror subsided, but her obsessive thoughts and anxious feelings did not disappear. That's because she still believed that there was an ugly scar on her nose that spoiled her face. The hidden emotion technique. Helen is an attractive, talented woman with a wonderful family and an outstanding career. Out of the blue, she suddenly developed the bizarre belief that her nose looks grotesque. Why did this happen? Is Helen upset about something that she isn't telling us? Is Helen anxious about going back to work? The high-tech world evolves at blazing speed, and she's been out of the workforce for 6 years. Maybe she's secretly worried that she's rusty and over the hill. But if there really is an ugly scar on her nose that nobody can stand to look at, she won't have to go back to work and risk discovering that she's fallen behind. Is Helen angry with Don? He was the one who initiated the idea of her going back to work so they could put a new addition on their house. Helen may feel pressured and resentful, but doesn't want to express these feelings because she's too nice. Perhaps her anxiety gives her an excuse to stay home. Then she can say, "Don, I really want to go back to work, but as you can see, I can't because I'm so crippled by fear." Perhaps Helen enjoys raising her boys and feels like it would be great to be a full-time mom for a few more years. But she might find it hard to admit because she thinks she should be a high-achieving woman with a glamorous high-tech career and a family. I was surprised that none of these possibilities rang true to Helen. She said that she genuinely wanted to return to work and felt the timing was right as far as the children were concerned. In addition, she didn't feel resentful or pressured by her husband to go back to work, and wasn't concerned about being rusty or over the hill. In many cases, the hidden emotion technique is incredibly illuminating and leads to rapid improvement. But it wasn't effective for Helen, so it was time to move on to the next technique. Downward arrow technique. When you use the downward arrow technique, you draw an arrow under your negative thought and ask, "If that were true, what would it mean to me? Why would it be upsetting?" A new thought will pop into your mind. Write this thought down and draw another downward arrow directly underneath it. If you do this several times, you can identify the self-defeating beliefs that are triggering your fears. Here are the self-defeating beliefs that Helen and I identified. Perfectionism. Helen believes that she must look perfect and that any tiny flaw will ruin her appearance completely. Perceived perfectionism. She thinks that other people are extremely judgmental and will reject her if she doesn't look perfect. Approval addiction. Helen believes that she needs everyone's approval in order to be worthwhile. Fear of rejection. She thinks that she's bound to feel worthless and miserable if anyone rejects her. Spotlight fallacy. Helen feels like she's under a spotlight on a stage, with everyone watching and judging her performance. Brush fire fallacy. Helen imagines that if one person looks down on her, the word will spread, and pretty soon, everyone will be gossiping and looking down on her. It's easy to see how these SDBs fuel Helen's fears. Helen imagines a world that's filled with people who are extremely judgmental, superficial, and rejecting. She's also convinced that if one person looks down on her, everyone will. Her anxiety doesn't result from any real or imagined flaw in her appearance, but from the way she's thinking about herself and the world. In addition to helping Helen put the lie to her negative thoughts in the here and now, we'll also want to help her change the SDBs that triggered her fears in the first place. That way, she won't be so vulnerable to painful mood swings in the future.